Sensory perception. Approachable only with great difficulty. All living entities. Positively. Hare Krishna. It is a verse which describes how Krishna appeared first in the heart of Vasudev, and from there he went to the heart of Devaki. It was an unusual appearance, and I thought because we are one day before Jamashtami, we should look into Krishna's appearance. We will look from one perspective today and tomorrow, and we will look from the Vrindavan perspective in the afternoon. Translation. While carrying the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart, Vasudev bore the Lord's transcendentally illuminating effulgence, and thus he became bright as the sun. Krishna was inside his heart, and as a result, Vasudev became effulgent. He was therefore very difficult to see or approach through sensory perception. Indeed, he was unapproachable and unperceivable even for such formidable men as Kamsa, and not only for Kamsa, but for all living entities. Purport. The word Dhamma is significant. Dhamma refers to the place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.1, it is said, Dhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Kurukam Satyam Param Dhimahi. In the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no influence of material energy. Dhamma Svena Sada Nirasta Kurukam. Any place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present by his name, his form, his qualities, or paraphernalia, immediately becomes a Dham. For example, we speak of Vrindavan Dham, Dvaraka Dham, and Mathura Dham, because in these places, the name, fame, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are always present. Similarly, if one is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do something, the core of his heart becomes a dham, and thus he becomes so extraordinarily powerful that not only his enemies but also people in general are astonished to observe his activities. Because he is unapproachable, his enemies are simply struck with wonder, as explained here by the words Durasado Tir Durdashaha. The words Purushan Dhamma have been explained by various acharyas. Sri Viraragava Acharya says that these words refer to the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vijayat Dvaja says that they signify Vishnu Tejas, and Shukadev says Bhagavat Swarupa. That Swarupa, the original form of the Lord, is there. The Vaishnava Toshani says that these words indicate the influence of the Supreme Lord's effulgence, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, oh my god, these are five references. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that they signify the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vidyame Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Vishwadhyayate
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
This is a very nice verse which explains to us how the Lord actually appeared. He came not in the normal way in which conditioned souls come, but he came by appearing in the heart of the soul of Vasudeva, who then bore the Lord's transcendentally illuminating effulgence. He stayed in the heart for some time and later went to Devaki. This appearance of the Lord within the heart of a devotee is something which takes regularly place. It's something which is documented also in the first canto, where it is said, Bhavat Vida Bhagavatat Tilta Bhuta Svayam Vibhu. My Lord, devotees like your good self, this is what Yudhishthira says to Vidura, are verily holy places, they are dhams, or tiritas, personified. Why? Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart. That's why you turn all places into places of pilgrimage wherever you go, because you are a personified holy place. When you come somewhere by your transcendental influence, that also becomes a dharma, a holy place. If you consider, Krishna is everywhere. But when someone becomes highly elevated in Krishna consciousness, Krishna becomes manifested in his heart. Then he becomes effulgent. We say like this, oh, Vaishnavas, you are effulgent, transcendentally effulgent. The example which Srila Prabhupada gives is the example of electricity. It is everywhere present. It's even in the air. You do like this in the evening, and if you have a pullover which is pure merino wool mixed with cashmere, there will be an electric spark or any other wool article. Electricity is everywhere, but it becomes visible when it is manifested in an electric bulb, like here, for instance, or behind me. Then we see the effect. So Krishna, similarly, is everywhere, but he becomes manifested in the heart of a pure devotee. And that's why it is said, when you do go to some holy place of pilgrimage, don't just take a bath in the holy rivers like Ganga or Jamuna, but you should make it sure that you visit a Vaishnava, a highly elevated Vaishnava, in whose heart the Supreme Personality of God resides, because then it becomes visible. Krishna becomes visible through these effulgent Mahamunis, these great devotees of the Lord. Now, I wanted to bring this out, because, my dear devotees, I always fear these Vaishnava festivals are not, let me say, remembering past historic events, like the appearance of Lord Krishna tomorrow, but they invite us to participate in these festivals, to participate in an experience where Krishna himself becomes manifested in our own heart, like he became manifested in Vasudev's heart, or here in this reference or verse from the first canto, in Vidura's heart. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written one song. It is called Shodha Pakata Charana Deno Ajananukula. In this verse he says Madhava titis, the times of Madhava, of Krishna, they act like mothers who give birth to children. When you observe them, there will be in your heart an appearance, a birth of bhakti and of Krishna. Bhakti and Krishna come together. So if you observe the upcoming Vaishnava holiday, this Jamashtami, in the spirit that, oh, may Krishna appear in my heart, then this will be very good for your spiritual life. You will become effulgent yourself when you leave. Then Vidura went on a long pilgrimage. When he returned from the holy places of pilgrimage, Yudhishthira, who received him, could see, my God, is Vidura effulgent? It seems as if rays are coming out of his transcendental body. Please, Vidura, sit down and tell us everything about what you experienced on your pilgrimage. The frame in which this verse took place. I do remember reading about Srila Prabhupada, who was once on a morning walk stopped by an American police car, and that lieutenant in the car had followed Prabhupada for a considerable amount of time. They were driving behind him. Have you ever been followed by a police car? You know, what do they want? What do they want? I'm a good citizen. What do they want? And so Prabhupada was followed by the police car, but he was not mental about it. Finally, the lieutenant went out of the car and respectfully approached Srila Prabhupada from the side and stopped him and said, "Sir, do you know that you are glowing? Do you know this? It's very dangerous, you know. Is everything all right? Are you on fire? What is with you? Do you know that you are glowing?" And why does this is expressed, this idea is expressed here, that Dharma refers to the place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides, and he can reside in the heart of a great devotee. Yes. Hare Krishna. Do you know that you are glowing? That's quite something if you think about it. So, my dear devotees, we all hope that the day after tomorrow, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, or a day afterwards, you will be glowing. We hope that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will be appearing in your heart. But before this can happen, someone else must appear in your heart. Something must happen in the heart, which is really a significant and important. And it is so important that I thought I will divert from my subject prayers to Giriraj just for this morning. In the evening I will continue with full energy there. Because this doesn't just happen so easily that Krishna appears in our heart and we become abodes of God, walking personified holy places. We will go through Germany like light bulbs, if you so want, when you appreciate this comparison, or like enlightened persons. Something else has to happen. And that is that the things which do not belong to the heart, and they need to be removed. They are, our heart is always occupied as conditioned souls by six powerful enemies: karma, krodha, lobha, mada, moha, and mada and moha. That is lust, greed, anger, illusion, madness, and enviousness. These things are there, and they need to first of all go. It is described in the Krishna Lila that before Krishna appeared within Devaki, first Balaram came, and he prepared the womb properly. Now Balaram has two very important insignias, or signs, or weapons, you can say. Who knows these two weapons of Balaram? Shamlila?
Plow and club.
Plow and club. You are 99% right or 98% right. However, if you think of Balaram as a resident of Vrindavan, he doesn't wear the club. Only outside of Vrindavan he wears a club. Inside of Vrindavan he wears a mushala. A mushala looks like a pregnant baseball stick. It's, in other words, a little blown up like this. And a mushala it has a handle like this, and then it goes like this and goes down like this. It is used in Braj to husk the grains. Grain is put into something like a stone, and then the mushala is brought and is persistently pounded upon the grains to unhusk the grain, so that you have the essence, the pure grain without the heart cover. You do this in rice, with the rice grains, and with, I'm not a farmer of Vrindavan, but with grains, you know, different types of grains. That's why you find when you see Krishna Balaram, only when Balaram comes in the mood of outside of Vrindavan, he has this club, but inside Vrindavan, he has this farming instrument. another instrument which Sian Lila has said is a plow. A plow is used to plow, yes, to soften the hard ground, which is made almost as hard as a stone due to the heat. The farmer is to come and bring that plow, pierce it into the ground, and then almost bifurcate the ground or dig deep into the ground so that it becomes soft. So these are the two instruments of life, Balaram, and he has this for a good reason. Balaram is the elder brother of Krishna. He's known as the servitor of Godhead. When you ask Krishna, this is Jiva Goswami, who's God Krishna? Please tell me. Krishna will say, me. I'm God. If you ask Balaram, please tell us, who is Krishna? Now, who is God? Then Balaram will say, Krishna. Although Balaram is also the Godhead, he's the first expansion of Krishna. It's when Krishna steps one step to the right side, then he's Balaram. He's Krishna, and only the color is different, and the mood is different. The mood is that of a servitor. As a servitor, he expands the whole, he expands to the paraphernalia of Krishna, like his crown, for instance, or his slippers. He knows Krishna wants to attract everyone, so he becomes a very attractive crown and very nice slippers which you will not find in the slipper shop in this world. They are Balaram expansions of Lord Balaram. He expands himself into the form of the holy Dham, the ground on which Krishna walks. He even expands himself into, through various expansions, into this bittersweet material universe where we can learn to return again to Krishna. And he expands himself in Ananta Shesha and glorifies Krishna with a thousand mouths. He is really an intense servitor. He wants to serve. My dear little child, you are a little restless, but you can hear, you are at the age of hearing. You kindly, you are equipped with good intelligence, I can see, and you sit comfortably and you kindly hear. It is good for you. It is good for you. In this way, Balaram wants to serve. He is the supreme servitor Godhead. Here it is said, servitor Godhead. That is, Sevaka Bhagavan. Krishna is Sevya Bhagavan, who accepts the service, and Baladev, or Dauji as he's called in Vrindavan, is the elder brother, but he is the dedicated servant of Lord Krishna. Now, one service which he does is he becomes what is called the Guru Tattva, through which he gives us strength which is necessary to overcome our obstacles. As we turn to the spiritual master, we turn to more than a human being in this world, who's from a particular country and so on. When we turn to a bona fide spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada, we turn actually to what is a particular spiritual essential principle, the guru tattva. We turn to, we connect with a personality through which we get strength from the spiritual world, the strength of Lord Balaram, which can carry us forward in our path. I remember once one of my god brothers lamented, "Oh, I have so many difficulties. I have so many problems, Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, he rarely spoke about these things because he's a very humble Vaishnava. With one kick of my feet, I can chase all these bad planets away, which are now giving you problems. Anyone who has turned with faith and not with a heart which is full of holes of doubts, who have turned with faith to Srila Prabhupada, he has all of a sudden seen that in an almost electrical way, if you, you know, we have given this example of electricity, their strength comes his way, which is important to do two things. Spiritual strength, bala, is important, my dear devotees, so that we can plow our heart and make it soft. Our hurt heart, our heart which is so much occupied by these enemies, our hard heart, hurt heart and hard heart must be plowed so that the seed of bhakti can appear. Can find its root and grow there. Without the spiritual strength, which will, so to say, move and sometimes upset our heart, turn it around, churn it, and so on, the heart will not become soft enough for bhakti, or for the seed of bhakti to root in there, to make its root there. Imagine a farmer in Vrindavan after the hot season. If he doesn't plow the field and just throws his seed on the stone-like surface, they will never grow. In the same way, if our heart is still so hard with enviousness, with Vaishnava politics, we have such things in our home and outside, with all these things, my dear devotees, that it will not, bhakti will be a theoretical concept which you can never understand what it is. The heart has to be softened by the plow of Balaram. I remember His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj, when he came to Heidelberg, he gave a lecture about Balaram, and then he would say, "Do you know, Maharaj, why Balaram has a plow?" I was put on the spot, I didn't want to speculate because I think he had already an answer. I said, "Maharaj, my knowledge is very small. You please tell us." He plows the heart so that the heart can become attracted to Krishna. Mm-hmm. He plows the heart. This is important before Krishna comes. Denukasura and his consorts must go. And that is the in Krishna Lila, there is one pastime where Krishna went to the forest Maruvan. It was a forest which was which had these beautiful tal fruits, these fruits are a little stringy inside, but what you do is you grind them to a powder and you make a juice which is just so good that there is no comparison to it. There was a servant of Kamsa, his name was Denukasura, he had the body of an ass or donkey. He was guarding this forest of Talavan fruits, and he regularly had the fruits harvested and made into a wonderful juice which was delivered to Kamsa's god in Mathura, and he would drink the rest. He would let it sit a little and then it would ferment, and it was an alcoholic beverage like vodka or whiskey, but very sweet and very ooh. I never tasted it, and it's not for us also, maybe. But it could also be non-alcoholic, but the demons or the Rakshas are kind of people like it, a little fermented. We would drink it just differently, pure. So Denukasura guarded this garden with the fruits. He is a symbolic representation of the mentality of the conditioned soul, who is very, very, is guarding his material consciousness very, 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 very safely. So this donkey was removed by our Balaram. When Krishna Balaram came into this forest, the donkey came, and first he didn't know that Krishna was there, and Krishna Balaram started to shake the fruit, the trees, so that these beautiful fruits would come down, these delicious fruits, and Denukasura, who was sleeping nearby, in stupor, heard how the ground was shaking, and he came there and saw, God, they are stealing the fruits of Kamsa. If they steal this, Kamsa will be angry, and he will get on my case, so I better kill them. So he came to Balaram, and he showed Lord Balaram his behind, and he passes the donkey pile, you know. And this was offensive in itself, but then he kicked Lord Balaram with his hooves on his chest. Balaram smiled. He didn't budge an inch. But then he became angry. This Denukasura is there in the dharma of my brother Balaram. He guards the fruits which are for Krishna's enjoyment. This is too much. And he then took Denukasura, whirled him around, swish, 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 and threw them on the trees. And the trees fell like a domino. One tick fell, and the other fell. Oh, there was a big harvest of tal, of tree, of fruits. Anyways, the fruits of Krishna consciousness are guarded by this material donkey in our heart, this avidya, this ignorance. You, my dear devotees, are all on the spiritual path. You are very exalted souls, but maybe the Lord is not yet fully manifested in the heart. Why not? Because there is this avidya, this donkey-like ignorance, which is the beginning of your material existence. It's the first layer of Maya on you. And therefore, you cannot experience the fruits of Krishna consciousness fully. So Balaram has to come. He has to do something with this ignorance. And the way he does it is, he plows our heart. What does this mean? We follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and we are not afraid of his club, his mushala, when he has us, you know. And he says, do this, get up, don't drink fermented thai fruit juice, etc. And so on. And we feel so hard, and we have to go and do service, and we have to overcome our lusty propensities and our fault finding tendencies. Oh, this is very, very hard in our heart. And in this way, he takes away, by his instructions and by giving us a path which we follow, he takes away these shadows in our heart, the shadows of ignorance, so that Krishna comes. There is an Upanishad, it is called the Advaya Taraka Upanishad, which defines what guru means. Gu means shadow, the silver gu means shadow, and ru means removing. So guru means he who removes the shadows of darkness, the shadows of ignorance. He does so by making our heart the place where the seed of bhakti can grow, and he takes care that all the things which develop with bhakti, these husky things, these things which are not the essence, are removed. It's very, very important. This guidance of ultimately Balaram, who prepares our heart, is very important. I want to come to an end now. But maybe I say what I want to say. I want to see if there's a question now. The subject of the lecture in summary is very simple. Krishna can appear in our heart, like it is stated in this verse, where the heart can become a dham, a place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. And this is also found when, in the Bhagavatam, when Yudhishthira greeted Vidura and said, your devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Huh? Krishna appears. But before Krishna appears, we need to do something with the heart. We need to follow instructions and a spiritual path so that everything, the Krishna will appear. Yes, this is what I wanted to say this morning. I hope it was clear, motivating, inspiring for you all. Connect with a guru, then you connect with electricity which comes from Balarama, and strength, a principle, guru tattva, and your heart will become good. That's why we in our movement, Hare Krishna movement, we are very happy that Prabhupada appeared just together with Krishna, you know, one day later. And we feel this is very symbolic, that has a meaning for us. And we like to take advantage of this. Is there any question which you have up to this time? Siam Lila has come. You may know Siam Lila, please. Our Siam Lila.
Maharaj, thank you. Thank you for a very wonderful class. You mentioned that when we turn to Prabhupada with faith, then definitely Prabhupada will kick out all of these problems that we are facing. So my question is that we hear that we should turn to Nityananda Prabhu, he is all merciful, and we also hear we should turn to Lord Balaram, and they are all actually, in one way they are different personalities, and in other way we see that actually they are the same, they are all representation of so in person, whom actually we should, what should we do? We should be making our connection more with Prabhupada, or we should really go and approach Nityananda Prabhu? How I'm just confused about that.
Yes,
many times.
Thank you very much. I must tell you very honestly, I mean, we are the family. I also. Okay, so Nityananda, I'm. Yes, Prabhupada. Balaram is also there. Janabama is there. Parasvatananga Manjari also there. See, when we speak of Guru Tattva, we speak of a mood of servitorship. Like, and this mood originates in the Sevaka Bhagavan, in the supreme servitor of Godhead, servitor Godhead, that is Lord Balaram. And because Balaram expands into Nityananda in Gaura Lila, he expands into Mahavishnu in order to serve the Lord in his Shrishti Lila, in the Lila of creation. Balaram expands in the slivas in Vrindavan. And Balaram, by the way, he serves. Let me speak about this, then you will understand. You will understand a principle of service. Balaram is so eager and so intelligent to serve Krishna that he serves him in all his, in all rasas. He serves him in chantaras by becoming his the dham. He serves him chanta in dasyaras by serving him in all kinds of ways, guarding him in his cowherdy lila, bringing him things. He is in the friendly mood. Imagine how he is in the friendly mood. It's amazing. He is telling Krishna, you must go home now, it's late, no time for playing, see the sun is setting, we must go to your shoulder and Ravini. He serves him in a parental mood. Actually, that was an example of the parental rasa. Now, because he's the elder brother, he can strictly not serve him in the Madhurya rasa, because the elder brother is not there in the loving dealings of his younger brother. Younger brother is always has to be respectful to the older brother, and there is no place of a beloved in the presence of the older brother. But Balaram thinks, I want to serve him also in Madhurya. So he is so clever. He takes the form of a little manjari called Ananga Manjari. He's there and brings all kinds of things when Radharani is decorated at Radha Kunta. I once heard there is this island in the middle of Radha Kunta, and she's fully decorated. She's there. Said, this beauty is meant for my Krishna. So Krishna, in the meantime, has received the message and has arrived in Radhakund, but he's not on the island. So Ananga Manjari knows Krishna has arrived and wants to serve Krishna. Also in that lila, so she takes a mirror, holds it to Radha, and then flashes Radha's image right into the eyes of Krishna, who sees Radha in this way, fully decorated. So clever. He's there and serving in all different conceivable ways. He glorifies him. He takes this form of Anatta Shesha. Imagine the thousand mouths glorifies Krishna. So this mood, this becomes personified in different persons. It becomes personified in Nityananda Ram, when he comes as the brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He becomes personified in the spiritual master. This is what George Harrison once said about Srila Prabhupada. He said, every other movement I know is known because of its founder, Maharishi movement. This movement, that movement. But no one knows Prabhupada because he always wants to point to Krishna. He's a servitor. You know, not many know the name either. Because he is Krishna. This is a very, you could say, intoxicating mood of service that is to be found. Now, now you ask a question, but you have not answered my question, Maharaj. Nice that you tell me the lila, but I am not here for this. I want to know, how do I connect with it? Wherever you can connect, you will connect. Whatever is easiest, you must at one stage in your spiritual life follow the wild goose spirituality. What is that? Wild goose knows how to fly from Sweden, your present working place, to Africa by something like an internal direction. The Paramatma tells it, fly now over Germany, land in Goloka Dham. They have their landing place just over there when they come, and from there you fly somewhere else, and then you come to Africa. They know, they follow. So if you feel attracted to Prabhupada, you go there, you connect there with this mood, this electricity. If you feel that your exalted spiritual master, you go there. Or he always talks about Prabhupada, they are son and father, you know. So you go there. If you feel Nityananda's appearance, they come. Whoa, let me hear about Nityananda. Let me now pray to Lord Nityananda. He's very present in my mind now. You connect there. If you feel a pulling in the direction, I want to connect with Ananga Manjari. Then if you are mature in devotional service, then you might feel that as an inclination. And you have to follow that inclination as it comes. If you do something which is only a concept, like you find very often in the Gaudiya Vaishnavas in the Western world, we white men are doing this, and white-bodied people. We are more expert in concepts, and then we quarrel about this concept against that concept. It's only a concept. If you would be a true Vaishnava, you wouldn't quarrel, you wouldn't live it, you would be effulgent because of your contact with the Lord. So on. So let this Krishna consciousness not be a concept. If you feel attracted here, go there. If you feel attracted to Lord Nityananda, go there. And so on. That is my answer, how I resolved it. In my own personal life, I read every day in Prabhupada's books, and that connects me really substantially with his thinking. I feel I'm only connected with a person when I'm connected with his thinking really. So I go there, when I'm in Chaitanya Lila, when I'm preparing Gaura Lila evenings, hear about Lord Nityananda, I go to Lord Nityananda. Prabhupada is always there, obviously. And in this way, or now there was Balaram's appearance day, I was just meditating about Balaram from morning till evening, because that is his day, recent days. And it's the same, it feels the same. The plow is there, the mushala is there, it feels the same, the attraction is there, it's the same energy. And the idea, serve, 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 is there. There is a very important question. I think we all had this question. From when I hear this glory, then I feel, oh, I must go to the personality who is glorified. But then the next day I hear another lecture, another glorification. And the lecturer says, this is most important, most important, most important. 50,000 most important points. How will I, you know, choose which one to follow? It is at where you feel attracted, or what comes in your life at a certain point. And in a way, you know, we say guru tattva. But do you know who is the spiritual master of Krishna? Yeah.
I just had a comment, Maharaj, if I could.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj. You were mentioning about Balaram and the plow. Jiva Goswami mentions a nice small point in this regard, that when Jarasandha was attacking Mathura, Krishna Balaram very bravely came out in front of all the millions of soldiers of Jarasandha. And when Jarasandha saw Balaram, he had a plow in his hand. And Jarasandha and all of his soldiers started laughing at him. Like, it's a farmer! It's a farmer! Isn't that cute? He laughed for about 2 seconds. So all of his soldiers were dead.
Who is the spiritual master of Krishna? By the way, it's not an easy question. Otherwise, I wouldn't ask it.
Sandipani Muri.
Sandipani Muri. Who else has an answer?
Radharani.
Radharani. Oof, now we have another answer. I will just end with this. In Braj, they always tell you a story that once the gopis went to Krishna and said, we don't know we should associate with you. You have no guru. It almost sounds like this, the Bhagavan Bhakta talking to another Bhakta. And Krishna says, isn't it true? My guru is Bhaguri Muni. There are, it's a quotation, I wanted to read to you, but it's where Krishna says, it's from the Gaga Samhita, my guru is Bhaguri Muni. Bhaguri Muni appears in, he's the priest, he's also the spiritual master. the spirit of Master Alphananda Maharaj, and he gives, on the behest of Nanda Maharaj, he gives Krishna a mantra at initiation. Wait a minute, I think I have it here. No, I don't find it at the moment. So, when Krishna goes outside of Vrindavan, he learns in Sandipani Muni's court. But when he is really, really inside, in this very confidential mood in Vrindavan, where only his most beloved Srimati Radharani is there, then Radharani is his guru. There's a word, I think we heard this yesterday from Madhava Vananda, that Ami Shishya, I'm the disciple of Radharani in dancing matters. So, yeah, this subject matter of removing shadows, making our path clear, the guru, is very important, and I wanted to bring this point before Jamashtami, because the womb of Devaki was prepared by Balaram, so that it was a very nice place for the Lord to appear. Hare Krishna. I will end my class here because it is time, but our Guru Hari will give us the orientation for the day. Thank you very much, yeah. And may we all become walking places of pilgrimage, where the Lord is present. Hare Krishna.